You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
We welcome you into the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew on the other side of the glass, and the most important component, you our listener out there. Thank you for joining us today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We got a big show today. Mike DeCourcy is going to join us from the Big Ten Network. We will talk Iowa, Indiana coming up tonight. We'll talk Big Ten hoops, some national hoops, a little bit of late January, early February around the corner bracket. We'll do that coming up. Tony Hager from iWrestle.com is going to join us as well. We'll talk about the girls' state wrestling championships coming up Thursday and Friday down at Extreme Arena. Regional duels around the state of Iowa tonight, setting up the docket for Saturday down at Extreme Arena. And the state duel tournament will take place down there, and look back at the conference tournaments from this past weekend. All that and more. Including a little football news. Offensive coordinator officially hired at Iowa? Question mark? No. But more football news coming out today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Phone line as well, 319-366-1600. As Andrew joining us on the other side of the glass.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Nice. Nice to hear.
Now, I wish the sun was out, but can't have it every day.
No, not every day.
Can't have it every day. We got a big show, so gotta get right into
it. Yeah, we do.
Gotta get right into it. Mark, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott, Andrew, and everyone out there. And, yeah, a lot on the slate today, as you might expect, and anxious to get into it, Scott.
We also have today's Star Wars trivia question for the Heartlanders tickets on February the 16th to Star Wars night. We're going to have that question for you coming up in just a little bit. So stay tuned for that. 319-366-1600. As we mentioned, that is a text line. Anytime you'd like to weigh in and get in touch with us here at the Eakin Nutrition Studios, love to hear from you out there. And lot going on. We've got Iowa, Indiana coming up tonight for the folks. That one coming down the Big Ten Network way at 6 o'clock, and this is a pretty big game in the Big Ten. We say that seemingly every Iowa and Iowa State game that comes down the line, but this one's got a lot on it. I think especially. I think for the Hoosiers, they're 96th right now. That's a 9-6 in the net rankings. They are tied with Iowa in the Big Ten standings. It has been an underachieving year for Mike Woodson and the Hoosiers so far. They have dropped 3 in a row. And this is a team, as a lot of people have talked about and written about, especially in the Hoosier State, that is at a crossroads right now.
Yeah, it is. Two teams with identical overall and conference records, and something's got to give tonight. I don't know why, but I don't have a particularly good feeling because I think Indiana is not without talent, nor is Iowa. But, I mean, the schedule makers this year, you know, in the Big Ten, Iowa didn't get any favors thrown its way. Playing Indiana and Michigan State once each and both on the road. Michigan State game coming up in about a month. But tonight's game, really interesting. It's kind of a toss-up according to the odds makers. I don't know how to handicap this one. I really don't.
I don't either, because I don't know what's going to happen in Bloomington. It's been a crazy place over the years, from everything from Iowa blowout wins to Indiana blowout wins, to ceiling tiles falling off the roof at Assembly Hall. You have no idea what is going to happen. And this one, even more. We'll talk about it with Mike DeCourcy coming up here in just a little bit. It should be entertaining. Let's just say that. I think we can all agree upon that. We will see if Ware will play tonight for Indiana. I got a feeling he is going to because the Hoosiers need this one. Iowa needs this one. The Hoosiers need this one. Everybody in need with this this particular ball game tonight. So that's what gives it even more intrigue as Iowa and the Hoosiers get ready to go at it. What's your thoughts out there? 319-366-1600. We got basketball. We have got football news today, Mark. It seems that every two or three weeks we have a big schedule unveiling. Today, it was the Big 12 for 2024. The football schedules are out with the newly expanded Big 12 without the Oklahoma Sooners and the Texas Longhorns. They exit, enter Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and the Utah Utes. And with that in mind, schedules coming out earlier on today, and Iowa State now knows who they will play and where and when next year. And Cyclone fans, your first thoughts about this. Love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Mark, I told you earlier today, I think this is very doable for Iowa State.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, you look at the non-conference games at home against North Dakota and Arkansas State, and a big game September 7th at Iowa. But you look at the Big 12 portion of the schedule, and it's, you know, the road games are not gigantic hurdles. At Houston, at West Virginia, at Utah, that's going to be tough.
Utah's going to be tough.
Kansas at a neutral site because of Kansas Stadium renovations. That'll be at your Arrowhead, but boy, highly manageable, I would think.
This is a schedule that Iowa State, I got to think the Cyclone fans out there, their mouths are salivating at this point. Is it a drop kick? No. Is it a layup? No. But, yeah, starting off with Houston on the road, very manageable. A Baylor team at home that is coming off a very subpar season. Going to West Virginia, now the Mountaineers had a bounce back last year, but, you know, going to Morgantown, doable. Central Florida at home, Texas Tech at home, and then you mentioned the game at Arrowhead against the Kansas Jayhawks that you know there are going to be, that half the stadium is going to be Iowa State folks that are going to make the trip down to Arrowhead for that one. Cincinnati at home, and then the tough finish at Utah, and then Kansas State at home. Who knows? That game on November the 30th, there could be a lot riding on that particular ball game between Iowa State and Kansas State in Farmageddon.
Yeah, and Iowa State took care of business on the road in a snowstorm against Kansas State. And, you know, Iowa State is going to be they were very young last season. And if everybody comes back, Rocco Beck, Abu Sama, on and on and on, this could be regardless of the schedule, be a very good team. But the schedule, yeah, kind of licking my chops if I'm an Iowa State fan.
You can do a lot worse than this if you're an Iowa State fan. Let's just put it that way. Interesting to note, though, and I guess we'll find out after next year if this makes any difference or not. Iowa State's byes, they have two of them. Pretty much everybody now in college football is going to have two byes as the season is going to stretch out to the end of November starting next year. Iowa State's byes are very early. In fact, the first of the two byes for Iowa State comes up after the Hawkeye game on September the 7th. So the 14th of September, Iowa State is already off between the Iowa game and the game against Arkansas State. The pesky Red Wolves will be coming in on September the 21st to Jack Trice Stadium. And then the second off week for Iowa State, bye week, is the final week of the month of October. So it will be a 5-week run for Iowa State through the month of November, the 2nd, the 9th, the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th in there. So we'll see. I mean, you can make a case for the buys that are always in good spots. You can make the case for buys being in poor spots. I'm not particularly fond of a buy after week number 2 before the conference slate even begins, but those are the cards that were dealt to the Cyclones.
Well, that November slate includes 3 home games in that, you want to call it a neutral site game at Arrowhead Stadium? Might be. Against Kansas.
It is going to be a neutral site game. There is going to be as many Iowa State fans at Arrowhead as there will be Jayhawk fans. I would almost bet my bottom dollar as far as that is concerned. We're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy coming up here in just a moment from the Big Ten Network and talk a little bit of hoops with you. And speaking of hoops and football, they interacted last night, Mark. I don't know if you read this in the accounts, but you had last night up in Algona, the basketball game between Clear Lake and Algona in the North Central Conference. Kirk Ferentz and I believe a couple other coaches were in attendance, and the entire Iowa State football staff was also up there. 3 big-time football prospects playing basketball in that particular ball game.
Didn't see that, but it doesn't surprise me. And, you know, that's what coaches do this time of year. Iowa couldn't bring along its offensive coordinator because it doesn't have one yet.
No, not an official offensive coordinator. Nothing like that as of yet. So we go from football. We're going to talk some basketball right now. Very happy to have Mike DeCourcy joining us from the Big Ten Network, sporting news as well, and does a terrific job for Fox Sports with the NCAA brackets. You can follow him on X or Twitter, whichever you like to call it, at TSN Mike. And he joins us here in Eastern Iowa on a Tuesday. Mike, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. You're very welcome.
Well, we were just talking, opening the show, with Iowa and Indiana coming up tonight. They're all big games, but this one may be even bigger. And I don't know who it's bigger for. Indiana is kind of at a crossroads. They've lost 3 in a row. A lot of pressure on Mike Woodson. Iowa coming off a rare road win at Michigan. And can they do it twice in a row? Something's got to give between these two squads tonight.
You know, from a standpoint of being detached, I think in a lot of ways you look at it as being bigger for Iowa because there's more possible for Iowa. Indiana can become more respectable than they've been, but their horizon, other than a absolute lights out February, I mean, where they basically run through almost everyone, the NCAA tournament is not beckoning, and it's kind of somewhat faint a signal for the Hawkeyes, but it's still there. It's still out there. Their metrics are good in a lot of ways. So if they played excellent basketball and win games like this, you know, they've got a shot really to go on a nice little winning streak here and to maybe build up their confidence. It's never easy in the Big Ten, but the Indiana game is one that they can win, obviously. Other teams have beaten Indiana. Then they get Ohio State at home, which would help being at home, and then Penn State, which is a winnable road game again, and then home to Minnesota. So there's a chance that if you add all that on the Michigan, that you could build up some confidence and attractive record. It doesn't do much for the fact they're 0-6 in quad one. It's not going to fix a lot of that. But it does give you a chance to maybe build some confidence so that when those kinds of games start coming toward the end of the month, then you have 4 consecutive quad one games. And maybe you can win some of those and get yourself back in the picture.
Iowa State continues to rise, Mike, as you know, with that big victory over Kansas, that really big advantage that is Hilton Coliseum. I noticed you stated, let's wait and see what we know about Iowa State come Valentine's Day, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've played very well, and I think that Kansas victory was a significant statement in their favor, without a doubt. That one said that they not only can win at home, but they can beat the best teams at home. So the next thing is, can they beat quality teams on the road? Can they did beat TCU on the road. They squeezed that one out, and that was great. But I think that we need to see a little bit more consistency. Remember, they didn't really achieve a ton in non-conference. They didn't play a significant number of great teams. I mean, of the teams that they played out of conference, the only one that's in my field right now is Texas A&M, and they're hanging on by a fingernail. They played a lot of quad four games, which didn't help them. So they really need to perform in conference. But I think that they've played very well. What I saw on Saturday, it was, against KU. I mean, regardless of venue, that level of performance with that level of team will win a lot of high-quality games and earn a significant seed in March.
With the Big Ten, Mike, we're about at the halfway mark now. What are your thoughts going into the second half about the way that you thought this season would go? We've had some surprises, certainly. Wisconsin's got to be considered a surprise. How bad Michigan is playing on the other end has to be a surprise in that direction. When it all is said and done, how many teams do you think go to the dance in March out of the Big Ten when this is all put together?
It will probably end up being six. That's what it's been in my mock bracket for most of the last month. So it'll probably be at that. But I think that Maryland and Iowa are teams that still have an opportunity. Ohio State could, of course, completely reverse their current course and head back in that direction. But they've got a lot of repair work to do in order to get there. So it's most likely six. But there's an outside chance that they could fight their way back up to eight. I doubt that, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. I see the SEC has eight right now, and I think the higher-end SEC teams are very good, but I think there are teams at the bottom end of that leagues like the Big Ten could squeeze out some of them. I think that Iowa, like I said, has a chance. They've got to play better basketball than they've played on the whole, but not necessarily better basketball than they've played at times. They've showed that they have it in them to play at that level.
Mike, I can't imagine the puzzle pieces that you have to put together after an impactful weekend, and we're headed towards another, whether it's the Purdue-Wisconsin Sunday and the SEC games and on and on and on. What's it like after a round of games like that?
You know what's funny is that after the way last weekend went, I thought I was going to rearrange the entire bottom of my bracket. I thought that I'd be chasing out almost everyone that had been at the edge. And my first pass through, I thought I kind of did it. And then I went back and looked. And the teams that had been there, teams like Wake Forest, for instance, they still hadn't necessarily done enough bad to get out. Michigan State, Texas A&M, Kansas State, I thought very hard about dropping them after the weekend, but chose not to. So it's interesting how sometimes even the results of the weekend don't end up moving you that much. They'll move teams up and down a line here or there, but the only team that I knew I would take out of the field for now was Villanova, because I have a standing rule that if you're two games over 500, I'm not putting you in the field unless I look there and I see something extraordinary. Because in the history of this expanded bracket, I believe the number is two teams that got in at two games over 500. So you really have to have an extraordinary performance to do that. And I don't think Villanova qualifies. So anytime a team drops to two over, I did it with Michigan State a few weeks back. They got right back off that, and they got right back in the field. Villanova has a big game tonight against Marquette, where they can maybe prove that they're better than what they've shown recently and get right back in the field. But they also could bury themselves even farther because Marquette's very good.
Speaking of teams on the edge, we've got one here in the state of Iowa with the Drake Bulldogs fighting it out with Indiana State at the top of the Missouri Valley right now. Some folks like both of those teams in. It's going to be very interesting if Indiana State has a record of, say, what, 26-4 or something like that, loses that Missouri Valley Conference final, if they're going to be an at-large team, even with a net of 24. How do you think that's all going to play out in the Mo Valley?
Yeah, I think one of the things that isn't necessarily being taken into account is Bradley and how well they've played.
Yep.
And their potential to upset the dream scenario of Drake and Indiana splitting in the regular – Drake and Indiana State, excuse me, splitting in the regular season, playing in the title game, and then them both going. That would be – if you're going to have it happen to get both of them in, that's the scenario that has to happen. They both have to win every other game. They have to split their games between each other, and then they have to play in the conference championship game. One wins, one loses. There may be a clear preference, a stronger at-large team when we get there, but we won't know for certain. It would most likely be Indiana State, but we don't know for certain until we get to selection week, Arch Madness week, because they're a week earlier than everybody else. When we get to that week, we'll know whether or not one team is a stronger at-large candidate than the other. But I like Bradley. I like what Brian Wardle does. I think they've got a shot to upset some people. And we'll see. And there are other teams in the league that are very good too, but those two in particular, that one in particular could mess with the two great teams that the Valley has.
Mike, we're in the fifth year, I think it is, of the net being basically the number one evaluation for the committee come March. Is it serving its purpose?
Well, I think it's serving the purpose it was intended to serve. The question is that the right purpose? Is that the right tool for the purpose? I was a believer that the standard metric for the NCAA should be what we call a results metric. And the difference between a results metric and a predictive metric is that the results metric measures what you've accomplished in terms of who the opponents have been and what the venues were and then what your results were. So you play Kentucky at Rupp Arena and you win. That's a heck of a win. That's going to score you a lot of points. You play, Missouri State on your home court. That's an okay win. You play the number 355 team on your home court. That doesn't do anything for you. And that's, but how many you won any of those games by doesn't matter in a results metric. Like ESPN has strength of record. The Kevin Palga of Michigan State has the KPI. Those are results metrics. And I believe that the NCAA, when they recalibrated their metrics, should have gone in that direction. They instead chose to put together a predictive metric, which measures efficiency, how often you score when you possess the ball, how often you allow the opponents to score when they possess the ball, which ultimately becomes what you won by. How many points? How many points you win by? Did you win by 25? You probably had a very efficient day at one end or the other or both. And I don't know that I'm crazy about that being the core of the metric, because I saw when we were on Big Ten Network on Saturday, our first game was Nebraska-Maryland, and our final game of the day was Northwestern versus Ohio State. And neither of the victors in those cases, Maryland and Northwestern, sought to run up the score. They played, but then they got ahead by a lot, and they sure as heck sought to not give up the leads that they'd built. They wanted to win by a lot since they were ahead by a lot. They weren't trying to win by 40, being up by 20 or 25, but they were trying not to win by 10. And that was pretty obvious in the way the players continued to play and the coaches continued to coach. And I don't know that that necessarily makes the game better. I'm not putting anything on either coach. I think they did what they needed to do because each of them got a tremendous bump in the predictive metrics, whether you want to look at KenPom or whether you want to look at the net. Each of those teams, by doing what they did, got a tremendous bump. But I don't know that we really should be in that business. I really think that a metric like the strength of record would be a fine base metric for the NCAA to use in their process.
Yeah, I agree. And get rid of scoring margin in the net so that these November games don't end up 118-52 against really bad teams, and then your net just goes sky high. So
yeah, I mean that's what it is. You would have to, you know, I mean you could get a different metric. You could design a different one than strength of record, and maybe it would look different. I know that KPI and strength of record do not always coincide, and they are supposedly measuring the same concept. But right now, people complain about the net all the time, and they say things like, why don't they just use KenPom? And if you look at it, they're not that different. They're pretty close. They're not identical, but they're pretty close to each other because they're basically measuring the same thing. And so it really doesn't make that much difference if you use KenPom or the net, but because the NCAA came up with the net, people think it's not any good.
Yeah. Final one for me here, Mike, and again, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. So looking at the halfway mark in the Big Ten, who's your player of the year, and is there any way possible that Owen Freeman is not the newcomer of the year, freshman of the year in the Big Ten?
Yeah, as long as the award's freshman of the year, I don't think there is any way possible. I think Owen's been tremendous. It's been great to see. He's been a wonderful player, a wonderful story. And as much of a slam dunk as I think Owen is, he's not even in the realm of slam dunks as player of the year that Zach Edey is. If Zach Edey finishes the season healthy, he will not only be Big Ten player of the year, but he will once again sweep the National Player of the Year awards. He's been the best player in the country by a significant margin. There are some very, very good players out there. RJ Davis is having a great year nationally. Tristan Newton at UConn, some others. In the league, Boo Booey's been great. We've seen A.J. Storr be really good at Wisconsin, but by far, Zach Edey is the player of the year in the league. And I hope all the guys I mentioned and all the players generally all have healthy Februaries and healthy early Marches, because I covered the Cincinnati Bearcats in 2000 when Kenyon Martin broke his leg, and I don't ever want to see anything like that again. I want all the teams to be able to take their best shot.
Yeah, I agree. I think Boo Booey might be, if it wasn't for Zach Edey, I think Boo Booey might be the Big Ten MVP.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely. I mean, he's been tremendous. And he'll get All-America votes and all that sort of thing. And he'll certainly be, again, if healthy, first team All-Big Ten, slam dunk. No trouble. And back-to-back first team All-Big Ten, and maybe the first basically star to lead Northwestern to back-to-back NCAA tournament bids. What a heck of a career that would be.
It would be indeed. Well, we'll watch Indiana-Iowa tonight, and we'll watch you in the Big Ten Network. I always appreciate it, Mike. I'll try to get you on again before March comes around on the calendar, but always appreciate your insight, and keep up the great work.
Enjoy the games. Don't forget Big Ten basketball and beyond Sunday night. My work on sportingnews.com, you can find it all at TSN Mike on Twitter.
All right. Great follow out there. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. 3:33 here on the Gym Class for a Tuesday. We're going to shift gears, talk a little high school wrestling coming up here in just a little bit with Tony Hager as the girls' state tournament will get underway on Thursday, and the state duels for the boys coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more, but need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, and of course, they're open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Their entire menu is available for you to take a look at. That is online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
The Tennessee Volunteers football program, apparently in the NCAA crosshairs, alleged major violations related to NIL deals. And in the middle of everything, it appears to be freshman quarterback Nico Iamaleva, who I became familiar with January 1. LSU women suffered their second straight loss last night in a setback against Mississippi State. In baseball, the Twins and Mariners swung a deal. Jorge Polanco going from the Twins to the Mariners in exchange for a starting pitcher, a relief pitcher, and two prospects. Also, Justin Turner has signed a one-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. Turner is 39. And Scott, looking to next year in the Big Ten men's and women's basketball tournaments, there will be 20 teams in, or 18 teams in the league, 20 conference games, but only 15 will make the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, 15. That is an odd. They haven't divulged what they're doing yet, but it's going to involve two-day buys, I'm sure, which everybody enjoys. Everybody enjoys that. Yeah, we'll see. Want to let you know that 1600 ESPN's $5,000 Man Cave giveaway continues right now. This is a national contest, and yet one local 1600 ESPN listener is guaranteed to win at least $500. Enter this winning sports word, gold, now at kgymradio.com. Why shouldn't you have a $5,000 man cave paid for by 1600 ESPN? Again, get all the details at kgymradio.com. Take a quick break. Come back. Tony Hager will join us. We also have the Heartlanders tickets we will give away coming up before 4 o'clock. So stick with us right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it's going to be mostly cloudy today with temperatures in the upper 30s. It'll be a bit breezy as well. Then later on tonight, we'll have some clearing and there could be some patchy fog by morning. Tomorrow, we'll have a mix of sun and clouds. Temperatures will be in the mid to upper 40s, and we'll continue to have some quiet and mild weather through the rest of the week with temperatures remaining in the mid to upper 40s each day through the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
They say love is a universal language. Well, that's definitely true if you're talking about bacon. I mean, who doesn't love bacon? Forget the chocolates. Get the gift of bacon. It's everyone's love language. And you're going to love it that our bacon's on sale right now. With quick hot savings, we're taking bacon down to $2.49 a 12-ounce pack. Limit two. Savings on bacon? Whoa, that's two love languages at once. We're multilingual like that. Quick Star. We're saving your bacon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is now live. The official sports book of ESPN features daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN shows and personalities like me. Bet on all your favorite sports with live in-game wagers, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download the ESPN Bet app to sign up today. I'll see you there. ESPN Bet. What a play.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. 3:39 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM at Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Andrew on the other side of the glass. Our thanks to Mike DeCourcy for joining us to talk some basketball. We go from basketball to the mats as Tony Hager joining us from iWrestle.com as this is a big week. Another big week as far as high school wrestling is concerned with the girls' state tournament coming up Thursday and Friday. Boys' state duels coming up on Saturday, all at Extreme Arena in Coralville. And you ready for this, Tony?
Yeah, I think we've got our team all ready and rocking to roll in different locations. Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
We're getting alert.
Oh boy!
Looks like it just stopped.
All right.
Sorry. It's like usually a missing child alert. So sorry.
That's very important, though.
Yes. Yes. Not sure what that was, but anyways. Yes, we've got. We'll have about six people in Coralville on Thursday and Friday for the girls' state championship, and then we'll have probably about eight people for the boys' state dual championships on Saturday. So just trying to cover it all our best we can. So we're excited for tonight. Regionals are underway. What regionals are you guys excited to see the outcome? What got any upsets for us?
Yeah, and they do have an amber alert going out right now. So it's over in central Iowa, the way it sounds, in Greene County. So just so people know about that, that kind of overrides everything here in the studio. So we'll kind of wait for that to go on by. But be alert for that out there. Greene County, I believe, over in central Iowa is what they're talking about there. It's interesting. We got a lot of folks, Cedar Falls, with a ton of girls that have gotten into the state tournament. Decorah, of course, are going to be one of the favorites. As far as Prairie is concerned, I think the Prairie Hawks look to do some damage down there because of what they're bringing down. Mount Vernon had a very good regional. The Iowa City schools did very, very well. So it's just good to see a lot of different schools represented, I think, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, the girls, you know, continue to grow, we, you know, the association's going to have a harder time with these regionals and making sure that we get the most, you know, the top level girls to state tournament. That's, you know, spacing them out is not easy in these regionals. And I thought they did a great job. We actually, 97 of the 100 97 of the 100 ranked girls made it to the state tournament of our rankings, and actually three of them didn't compete at regionals. So, you know, they did a really good job, and that's usually not the case on the boys' side of things. There's always kind of a district that is a little bit tougher, and that third place wrestler doesn't get in. So to get pretty much 99% or 100% of the girls that we had ranked in our ranked wrestler list, the state tournament is kudos to the association as far as I'm concerned, as far as mapping that out. Obviously the girls have to compete, they proved their ranking so far.
Tony, do you expect classifications and districts next year for girls?
You know, talking with some folks during regionals on Friday in Des Moines, There's a big push right now for a state dual championship for girls, and there is a push for 4-2 classes, a 1A and 2A class. The hard part is how they just break up some of these co-ops, because some of the co-ops have five different schools, and one school might have one or two, and if it there's a lot more variables than the outside people really understand as far as how some of these teams are made. Like a Raccoon River you know, Northwest is one that I really, you know, kind of talk about a lot. They've got like five teams in there that make up their team. In Ankeny, they've got some good co-ops as well. There's just very few teams like Waverly and Decorah where they're all Decorah girls, all Waverly girls in those teams. So I'm not sure how they're gonna make that happen. There's going to be a lot of discussion in regards to 1A and 2A as soon as the state wrestling tournament's over, probably at the state tournament. I just don't honestly know how they make that happen. We really have only been at this for 2 years, guys, and there's a lot that they're learning, and the regionals themselves are getting bigger. We had almost a 20% increase from last year to this year for girl participation just at regionals. So the lots of different factors go in and how this is going to go down. I do think that we'll see more of that. We'll go away from the regionals of these like large venues such as the Alliant Powerhouse, Hy-Vee Hall. I do see them breaking it up in maybe some of the bigger schools across the state so we don't have these large venues. I don't know how they're making a lot of money on these regionals. So they'll have to split this up long term to make it financially, you know, feasible for them.
True. Very true. Waverly, Decorah, they're going to be in there for the scrap for the state team title anyway. Anyone else that could jump in there?
Yeah, well, there's actually quite a few teams here that are sneaky good. Right now we've got we haven't put it out yet, but we did state tournament finish based off the seeding. And it does sound like the brackets are going to change today, so fans need to be on the lookout for a few changes. But based off right now, we have Decorah winning, and this is with no bonus points, nothing like that, just strictly based off placement points from the seeding points. Decorah has 113 points, Southeast Polk 101, Lewis Central 100, Waverly Shellrock 97.5, Bettendorf 96.5, then you got Raccoon River Northwest 92.5, East Buchanan, Vinton Shellsburg, Spencer, and Ankeny, all there in that top 10 that really can make some noise. It's going to be very difficult to knock over to off into Decorah. They just have a real solid base up and down their lineup. So, but with girls wrestling, momentum is a big thing with girls wrestling, getting that confidence from some of those girls that maybe are the outliers as far as the rankings go. You knock off one girl really early and, you know, they can get some momentum. So we'll see some of those heavier teams, those more cohesive teams that have a full squad there that can make some noise.
Boys regional duels tonight, Tony, as we talked about. Do you expect chalk?
I would say Class 3A looks to be pretty chalk. I do think 1A, I talked to our dual team ranker, and they've got Lisbon over – he's got Lisbon over Jessup.
Mm.
So that will be an interesting – that would be an interesting little upset there. At that the Jessup duel, you could see I think that one's the one that really stuck out to us in Class 1A. Humboldt Ballard, you know, that's 8 and 9, but we've got Humboldt beating Ballard, and Algona Hampton Dumont. We are predicting Hampton to be Algona, but everything else looks to be chalk. So we've got three upsets potentially that could happen in the 1A and 2A.
Yeah, and I know we have the Amber Alert going over here again, so that is kind of jumbling up everything here, but that is very important information out there for Central Iowa folks over there in Greene County. What could be a good one tonight in 3A, if it pans out, is Waverly Shellrock and Linmar. That's the 8 and 9 duel taking place at Linmar. That should, if that indeed comes to fruition, that should be a heck of a duel.
Yes, we do have Waverly Shellrock over Linmar in that duel, actually. So it's a narrow margin right there. Linn-Mar is a great dual team. It's in Linn-Mar. It's in Marion, right? So, you know, if they can get that home crowd behind them, I think I do think Linn-Mar has a good opportunity. They haven't looked back since they lost that Dubuque-Hempstead duel. I think it was like back when our very first time here on the air with you guys that, you know, Linn-Mar ended up getting beat by Dubuque-Hempstead. So they've had a really solid season really ever since that duel. They are full strength from what I've been told. But, Waverly-Shell Rock traditionally has been a great duel team. So Eric Whitcomb and company will definitely have that crew ready. So if there is an upset, we see it happening there in Linn-Mar.
I want to get your impressions of conference tournaments last weekend, Tony, and maybe start with the MVC that was in Dubuque, Prairie prevailing, really competitive meet.
You know, Prairie just continues to, they really just continue to impress me, honestly. I mean, where was that program six years ago? Right, coach has really been able to kind of get these guys, rallied around. I like what they got going on there. See if that momentum can carry them through. We were talking just about what is the significance of a conference duel, or just a conference tournament championship, and there you go, right? Those are opportunities for teams to really carry that momentum through regionals, through districts, and that's a great argument to keep the conference championships when you can win big tournaments like that and have big wins. It's great for seeding too. So Cedar Rapids Prairie, they're going to be a team to look for.
They are.
On an individual side of things, I really, I do think that they're going to be, they got some guys that are sleepers there.
Yeah. And, other, conference tournaments, the WAMAC, Mount Vernon, gets the victory in the WAMAC. Very good tournament too.
Yeah, did they do girls there too, or is it just a boys tournament?
Oh, I think it was both, but I'd have to have. I know one of our listeners is going to let us know.
Yeah, the Mount Vernon with that Clayton Perriel at 106. He's really one of those leaders for this team. I think they've been able to rally around, to be able to rally around him, a senior. He's 36-0. That's really just been a really strong leader for them, for Mount Vernon. To Clear Creek and Mana's got a really good team. West Delaware was there, Independence. So the WAMAC continues to be one of the really tough conferences, across the state. If there's a conference tournament that needs to continue to happen, this is definitely one of those that we get some of those big time matchups at this event. So, anytime you can knock off Independence and West Delaware, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, especially good example, the WAMAC at 138, five rated wrestlers, I think, or at one time rated. I think Kramer beat Jace Jaspers. Kramer's from Independence, Caden Kramer.
Yep. Yeah, 9-4. Kramer gave Jaspers his first loss of the season.
Yeah.
So big win for Caden. Caden's a senior, and this is a good little momentum spot there for Indy. He's got seven losses on the year. Independence does, they do have a pretty tough schedule to, traditionally with their own tournament going to Battle of Waterloo. So, Caden has taken some losses, but, and every time you can knock off a state champ, that's a good feather in the cap here late in the season.
And it was just boys.
Just boys. Got it.
Yep.
Got it.
They had the girls earlier in the week for the WAMAC. Okay. So.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. I knew our listeners would come through helping us out with that.
Yeah. One wrestler I'm, in sticking with the WAMAC, I'm really – really been following since he was a little, just a little wrestler at AAU is Brett Yonkovich, West Delaware, 31-2, a junior for them. Really needs to have a good state tournament. Things just haven't gone his way at that state tournament. So I think, this is going to be the year for Yonkovich.
Yeah. We'll find out. We'll find out. Well, best of luck. And all this information going to be at the website and a whole lot more, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a ton of free content. Obviously, content for our subscribers. Social media is going to be the best way to follow us, as always, at IA Wrestle. We've got lots of girls wrestling content right now. But tomorrow at 3 o'clock on YouTube, we will be releasing the state dual pairings exclusively on IA Wrestle. So we're real excited about doing that. We will we'll have those 3A, 2A right away. That way people can see what their brackets are, and then we'll break them down just as we receive them. But you know, if you want to tune in and figure out who you're wrestling first round, we'll have them for you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Looking forward to that. All right, Tony, thanks. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You too. Tony Hager from iWrestle.com joining us here at 3:54. All right, we need to get to a break, but before that, we're going to give you an opportunity to win Heartlanders tickets right now. And we'll start with caller number 6 at 319-366-1600 to answer our trivia question for Star Wars Night down at Extreme Arena on February the 16th. I've got a slam dunk for you. It's a layup. This evening. Here we go. What year was the very first theatrical release of a Star Wars movie? The original Star Wars. What year was that released into theaters? 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who the winner is and what the answer is when we come back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Back with you at 3:56. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN. Thanks to our guest coming up tomorrow, the one and only Mark Ironside will join us. And we will talk college wrestling with Mark. That'll be coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Mark, we're having a tough time, I think, trying to find out what year the original Star Wars came out.
Google it. You're at a loss.
We got it. All right. We have a winner. 1977. Hard to believe it's been that many years. 47 years since the first Star Wars came out in the theaters. Did you see the original Star Wars in the theater, Mark?
I haven't seen any Star Wars.
You have not seen any Star Wars?
Zero.
Wow. Even I have seen 3 of them. I have seen 3 of them. Spencer, have you seen any of the Star Wars films?
I've seen the original trilogy and then Episode 1, but anything beyond that, like the other 19 prequels, I have not seen.
Yeah, you lost me on those.
Yep.
So Spencer will have all sorts of Star Wars trivia. And no, I'm just kidding. He's got the latest in the world of sports locally and nationally coming up between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock with Spencer on Sports. And Mark, we will talk some more wrestling coming up tomorrow with Mark Ironside. Looking forward to that. And you have a very good night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. More preview with Iowa and Indiana, which gets underway at 6 o'clock. Coming up next with Spencer, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Hear that? It's the gentle sound of a waterfall on your hike. And if you were here, you'd take a deep breath of fresh air if you weren't so winded. But you're not here because your self-care happens out